evening, I welcome you to our Vespers service, which is a Eucharist service on Sunday evenings. Please know that whatever your tradition, you are welcome to participate to the fullest that you feel comfortable. So if what you can do is just kind of sit and be present in the room, and that's life-giving for you, please do that. But know at different times in the service, I'll be inviting you to stand or certainly participate in communion, and you're welcome to participate in all those things. Our service tonight, you need two things. You need the Now the Feast and Celebration booklet, and you need a red hymn book. And so if you missed gathering one or two, both of those things on your way in, this is a perfect time to go grab those things. We'll skip around just a little bit. I've tried to tighten up the service somewhat just because it is All Saints Day. And the Book of Remembrance has been filled. We have 36 names that we get to name, which will just be a beautiful ritual. And candles will be lit as each of the names are read. And so to that end, I wanted to kind of make the rest of the service a little bit more lean than usual, so just be ready for that. Other than that, I just invite you to be fully present in this space. Know that during communion, when people are kind of up moving around, there will be a candle lit for each name, but if it is meaningful, there's a couple chairs there that are set down, and you're welcome. People will be filing up this way, but if you kind of want to move over there and just sit in the altar space that we've created, you are welcome to do so, and there's candles there. Obviously, there's not room for every last one of us to light a candle in the box, but I do want to give space for those for whom that would be meaningful to do that during the course of communion. All right. With that, I invite you just to breathe fully, entering into this space, thanking for the many lives that have touched our own, and to consider ways that we offer our lives for others. We begin by singing the hymn For All the Saints. It's hymn number 422. There are 7 verses, but we will only be singing 3. So hymn number 422, and we'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 7. As you feel comfortable, I invite you to please stand for the singing.
Oh,
grace of Jesus and the fullness of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We continue with Now is the Feast, which is found on page 6 in your Now the Feast and Celebration booklet. And we remain standing for the sake. Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
You may be seated as we now hear from our Old Testament.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah announces God's displeasure with the offerings and sacrifices of a people who are without compassion. God urges them instead to do justice and defend the oppressed. Indeed, if they repent, the Lord promises, they will be made as clean as new fallen snow. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, or of lambs, or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath are calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to turn to the gospel verse, which is page 8 in your worship booklets. And again, as you feel comfortable, I invite you to stand for the gospel. To Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "Jesus has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house, because Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the Holy Gospel. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So today we celebrate All Saints Day in the church, and where does one even begin? Our first reading from the prophet Isaiah is one big, long rant about God not liking our worship practices. Yikes! I mean, like, seriously, what were they doing wrong? And how do we avoid making similar mistakes, if you worry about that kind of thing? But before we get too far into it, I want to make sure that we're not tripping over something. Namely, as we talk about today being All Saints Day, I want to make sure that we're not tripping over exactly what that word saint means. Because too often I think we think of people like Saint Teresa of Calcutta or Saint John of the Cross, religious professionals who lived exceptional lives, people who seem to be hero-like, super faithful individuals, right? Worthy of honor and frankly way out of our league. When actually, from the very beginnings of the church, saints were and are simply followers of Jesus. And that's it. And for Lutherans, the act of following is not about even doing it perfectly. It's kind of like more like an openness to a relationship, even a recognition that God is already in our midst, in spite of what we have or haven't done. It's less about our deeds and more about our perspective of the holy around us, a context that holds us more than a thing that we hold on to. A campus pastor in Nebraska, Adam White, found a great way to kind of describe the Lutheran perspective on this saint thing for me. And so I quote from him. He says, "It's not about what a saint does as much about what the Word of God does in and through us that makes a person a saint." And now I even need to clarify a little bit more. When we say Word of God as Lutherans, Word can mean three different things. It's basically the living word, the embodiment of Jesus' good news coming through either the written word, like the Word of God is like the Bible. The Word of God could also be Jesus himself, but the Word of God is also when that good news shows up in how we live our lives. So think of the Word of God as like this living, breathing thing, right? That is I hope you hear the expansive language in that. So what he says is that it's not about what we do that makes us a saint, but it's more about what the Word of God does in and through us that makes a person a saint. Martin Luther wrote that we are made saints not because of external works, not because of the stuff we do, but because of the holiness of Christ is given to us in faith. In his large catechism, Martin Luther writes, "God's word is the treasure that makes everything holy." Hear that word, everything holy. "By it, all the saints have themselves been made holy. At whatever time God's word," now hear this long list, "whenever God's word is taught, preached, heard, read, or pondered, there the person, the day, the work is hallowed," meaning made holy, meaning set apart. "Not on account of anything we've done," well, he says because of any external work, "but on account of the word that makes us saints." So, y'all just became saints because the gospel was read and you were here to hear it. Done. We can all just go home. By being open, by being curious, by engaging in the faith, however imperfectly we do it, because we will do it imperfectly, we walk the path that saints have walked before us. I mean, many of us, truth be told, are still trying to figure out what it is that we believe. But even that does not count us out of sainthood. So then what is the point of being a saint anyway, and why set aside a day to remember them? I think it's about us figuring out how to be a supportive community. It all comes back to that, dear people of Holden, every time, how to be a community. Again, Pastor Adam White writes, "Having a relationship with the saints strengthens our faith." But how? When we look at the lives of saints, our faith in God's mercy and forgiveness is increased. And when the reformers, so the folks that were working with Martin Luther at that time, because the church had just gotten incredibly broken at that point, when they were shaping the very beginnings of their Reformation, trying to flesh out what this sainthood thing looked like, you know what they lifted up? Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, who did what at the time of his death? Denied him, right? This is the story they lift up. It's not about a perfect person, but it's about a person striving in all their humanity to follow Jesus to the best of their ability and still screwing it up royally, but receiving the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And that's offered to every single one of us. The point here, paradoxically, is that saints aren't perfect, and we don't need to clean them up to make them examples. Instead, they give us real examples of imperfect humans being imperfect, and God not only forgives us, but does stuff through us, the ones that are being forgiven, the saints. So when we say that the saints strengthen our faith, it happens because we, the saints, show again and again how God forgives people like us. And you can't do that through being perfect. You only do that through being broken and recognizing that each and every one of us has room to grow. That we're broken people and we still strive to invite broken people to be in relationship with us, right? I mean, it's even though that we haven't got it all figured out, we're still trying to be servants to the world around us, right? It's not about performance and how well we do that, but it's about participation. and that trusting that God shows up in the midst of all the messiness. No matter how imperfectly we even come to that point of trusting that God is in the midst of these things, we still are participating in the holy. One of the greatest prayers in Scripture for me is found in the Gospel of Mark. It's when a dad is bringing his son to Jesus because he's suffering from an illness. And as he's bringing his son to Jesus, he says, "I believe, help my unbelief." Because I think that's most of us, to a nutshell. We believe to some degree, but please, oh God, help our unbelief. I trust you, God, but please help my lack of trust. I live to try and strive to care for my neighbor, but help my lack of compassion. Which brings us to the heart of this day for me. Remembering and honoring the saints, the everyday people who have touched our lives, and giving thanks for them. My dad died this past March. And with the passing of time and the desire to remember the good things, I could be inclined to turn him into someone that he wasn't. My dad had both a big heart and a quick temper. He could be amazingly generous and surprisingly judgmental. He loved me so much. But that love sometimes seemed to impose expectations on me that were less than life-giving. He would certainly have self-described himself as a sinner, but he was also very much a saint. I've teased him over the years that many of my pastoral gifts that I now rely upon came from him. And he would always scoff whenever I said this, but I know the words to be true. So how do we remember people that we have lost? And does it matter? Perhaps it was strange to read Zacchaeus' story today for All Saints Day. I mean, he was certainly an outsider when it came to the path of sainthood. He was working for the Roman oppressor, right? He had collected money from the poor residents of this place of occupation. And it says that he was wealthy. And in a time and place where there was limited good, if you had a lot, that was a result of other people having little. And I think our world becomes more and more like this all the time. So since he was rich, it meant that he had been stealing from the poor. And he was hated, I am sure, for his workplace and his ethic. And yet Jesus in this story is in a hurry to include him, to give him space to welcome Jesus into his home and to receive that hospitality fully. I mean, to literally go into this guy's private realm, right? And then not only does he do this, by saying that he is a son of Abraham, he names him an insider, this person who would have been considered a sinner and outsider. Not perfect, but yet Jesus raises him up as an example. Jesus sees his goodness and gives room for that goodness to be drawn out of him. Zacchaeus' context saw him as a lost cause, and Jesus saw him on the road to sainthood. For what it's worth, I think church folk have gotten distracted by doing things right. The prophet Isaiah's community was hell-bent on doing worship perfectly. And yes, I mean that literally. They were hell-bent on doing worship perfectly. And God was so frustrated because in their striving to do things just so, they were neglecting the people that most needed their energy and love and attention. Sainthood is not about perfection, but about a willingness to notice our own imperfection and the suffering of those around us. Because when we notice and are willing to see our own brokenness, I believe that the beautiful light of God shines through those cracks in us. I mean, it's such strange language at the end of Isaiah. God's like, I hate your worship, blah, 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 it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I sort of imagine this group of people. So God has them all being very much face to face with their own brokenness and their inability to do what is right. And then God says, come now, let's argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be like snow, and though they're red like crimson, they shall be like wool. God's saying, how you do things, your level of perfection is not the point, but relationship with me, you will be made whole. Not because of perfect worship practices, not because of perfect lives, but through a willingness to notice our brokenness and to want to do something about it. And by seeing our own and accepting it, we are better able to be present to the brokenness of others. This is what the prophet is saying. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. On this day, may we remember the saints that have gone before us in all their broken beauty. As we grieve the fullness of their life among us, we too are filled. And thanks to our community member, Hanifa, I close with a quote from Anne Lamott. She writes, "You will lose someone you can't live without, and your heart will be badly broken. And the bad news is that you never completely get over the loss of your beloved. But this is also the good news. They live forever in your broken heart that doesn't seal back up. And you come through. It's like having a broken leg that never heals perfectly, that still hurts when the weather gets cold, but you learn to dance with the limp. May we be shaped by our grief and our own brokenness, that it might shine through to a beauty of possibility and hope for the broken people around us. Amen." We remain seated as we now join in singing the hymn 592, Just As I Am. Hymn 592.
Just
We enter now into a time of remembering as we honor those who have died. We seek to remember the life that they have shared with us. As we name each of the following people, a bell will ring, and I ask you to please hold silence during this time. Bruce Heppner. Neldreth Eileen Harden Klein. Walt Hartenheimer. Suzanne Shea. John Van Bergen. Joan Mudd. Tara's mother. Samuel's father. Great-great-aunt Gussie. Kathy Casper. Norval Waller. Linda Bingman. Jamie Hoffman. Corky and Alice Sonnen. Michael Lesh. Bobby Lottie. Shirley Vechtal. Emily, Henry, and Jenny Hahn. Justin. Sam, Marilyn, and Vicky. Papa and Grandma. Carson Bottle. Rachel Melka. Bob Voigt. Jean. Dick and Ellen Childs. Kyle Jorgensen. Dan Davis. Corey Jennifer. Gwen Harvey. Gabe Anderson. Jesse LeClear Vakta. Aaron Stribus. Fitia. Kelsey Josephine. Melissa Bon Miller. Toward the beginning of our faith story, God sought to establish a deep relationship with us through the making of a covenant. When Abraham and Sarah were very old and still childless, God called Abram out of his tent in the dark of night and asked, "Can you count the stars?" "No," Abram said, "they are far too numerous." And then God's promises flowed. "Well," God said, "that large number of stars, that is how many your descendants will be. You and I are some of those stars. God's promise of life has been fulfilled in us and fulfilled through the lights of saints that now glow before us. May we carry our own stories forward so that we might bless the generations to come." From Hebrews chapter 12.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings to us so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race of life that is set before us. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another.
Peace and welcome.
You to join in singing the offertory, which is on page 10 in your worship booklets, As the Grains of Wheat.
As the grains of wheat, one step beyond the other, I gather into one.
Let us pray.
Merciful God, everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. We joyfully release what you have entrusted to us, and may these gifts be signs of our whole lives returned to you, dedicated to the healing and unity of all creation. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to please stand for the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, most holy God. We give you thanks that through the love and sacrifice of your Son, we have learned and come to know the fullness of life. May we walk with all your saints as we now join in the unending hymn with all the heavenly hosts.
He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. Loving Jesus, we ask that you remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Creator God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You see that. Please know that these gifts of God are for you, the people of God, and we desire that there be no barriers between you and this feast that he offers. If you wish to come forward and receive bread and wine, you are welcome to do so. The first person will be holding gluten-free wafers, then I will be holding bread. Then there will be the common cup that you can either drink out of or take your piece of bread and dip it in. And my communion servers can come forward, thanks. And then if you don't want to use the common cup, you can get an individual cup, so there'll be a basket with empty cups. And then the first pitcher that will be here will be wine. The first pitcher will be wine, the second pitcher will be juice, and then there's finally a basket where you can place your empty cup. All is prepared, there's no particular order that you come forward in, so just come as you feel comfortable.
Mercy on us. Thank you.
Now may the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and hold you in his grace. Amen. We continue with post-communion canticle, which is found on page 32. Thanks be to you. Thanks be to God. Amen.